FPMT board director to welcome His Holiness.
Your Holiness, Venerable Sangha, our sponsors, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, the city of Mumbai is very fortunate and honored to have Your Holiness give the first public talk of this scale. We are extremely delighted that our spiritual director, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, is also present with us today. His Holiness doesn't need any introduction. Even if I try to attempt it, I wouldn't do justice. I mean, just how does one describe one of the most amazing holy beings to walk on this planet? How does one introduce someone who has created such a huge impact locally and globally in the promotion of world peace, human values, and the importance of dialogue to resolve issues? Someone who has touched the hearts of so many people from all walks of life and who has stayed true to his words and teachings in his practice and actions. His Holiness is truly a beacon for us to aspire and emulate. Instead, let me share with you my own personal experience and effect of meeting His Holiness for the first time in 1999. I remember asking Kyabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, "What's so great about the Dalai Lama?" And a few months later, respectfully followed his instruction to attend His Holiness' teachings in Bodh Gaya. When I was there, I felt the overwhelming power of His Holiness' presence and love. And by the end of the teachings and many tissue boxes later, I was totally overwhelmed and in awe and so inspired by His Holiness' loving presence. When I was writing this welcome speech, I was truly stumped. His Holiness's qualities are immeasurable. So I leave you to have this incredible experience yourself as I now humbly present His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama.
Dear brothers and sisters, I am very happy having this opportunity for exchange, I think, different views in order to gain better awareness about our inner values, that inner value have, I think, immense potential to bring inner peace. So I'm very happy having that opportunity. So firstly, thank to the people who initiated this meeting. This meeting. And also thank to people who come here in spite of quite hot. I think must be everyone very busy in order to have a better future. So everybody very much busy, working. So in spite of that, many people come here. So thank you. And some of the organizers, since many years I know, they are really, as I say, very sincere motivation So I appreciate. And also Savarambuche. I think their service to Buddha Dharma, Rinpoche tirelessly is committed there. Then, the inner peace has been done.
The topic for today's gathering is peace through inner peace.
So, firstly, what is peace? Peace, not just mere absence of violence, but peace is a circumstances is such the very possible develop violence, then with awareness deliberately restrain violence and facing that problem, that circumstances handle peacefully. I think that is real peace. In ordinarily ready to fight violence, but with awareness and deliberately restrain violence and through non-violent method, or in other words, through human way of handling that problem and find a solution, peace. I think that's real peace. There's not much sense. You see, peace with flower, peace with rock. So therefore, peace means there is some kind of, see, tendency there. You see, ready to burst. Then deliberately, you see, they try to face that problem through non-violent way. That's the real peace. So the potential or the real factor to create violence is our mind, our emotion. Of course, sometimes you see, we may call the violent weather, violent thunderstorm. We may call, but essentially violence very much related with emotion. Emotion brings
So emotion is the one which the presence of which can bring about a very harmful action.
That we call violence. So violence not just come externally, but with certain motivation. So in that motivation, or in other words, I think violence is one aspect of human action, or human or sentient beings' action. Therefore, any action related with motivation, at the level of motivation, some destructive motivation, some constructive motivation or neutral motivation, that brings three categories of action: harmful action, benefit action, then neutral action. So on the level of motivation, those, generally speaking, destructive motivation usually very much linked with certain emotion, such as anger, hatred, jealousy, or very strong attachment. You see, these emotions brings or lead destructive action. Then constructive action usually carried by wrath, carried by certain motivation or certain emotion, such as a sense of concern or compassion or awareness, mainly holistic view. I think that usually carried more constructive action. So neutral motivation then karoda brings more neutral action. Like that, just a walk, like that. So when we deal peace and peace, non-violence and violence or war, firstly we must deal with motivation. And furthermore, we cannot judge peace and violence on the service level. Some are physical action as well as verbal action appears violent, but out of the sense of concern or sense of awareness of long-term consequences. Looks, now for example, teacher, parent, sometimes they may take a little bit violent method in order to stop their children or their students' wrongdoing out of sense of concern. So that's essentially non-violence. I may pick up one example, my own case. My friend knows well, when I was young, as a young student, young boy, when I carry study, I'm quite lazy. So my tutor always kept one whip in order to control me, like that. Fortunately, he never used to say that whip, but he always keep that whip. So sometimes I jokingly telling people that at that time, I study with my elder brother. We both, as a monk, study together. I think then my age, around 10, like that. Later, my elder brother then separated from me and went to some other school. So when we together study, the tutor have two whips. One ordinary whip, one yellow whip. So that yellow whip supposed to Dalai Lama, His Holiness. So the whip for punishing, right? Holy Dalai Lama, the whip also holy whip. So yellow whip. So, you see, that's one example. Action is quite wrathful. What?
Harsh.
Quite, you see, harsh action. But motivation is a sense of concern about my study. And occasionally, is my it is showing a wrathful face and some harsh word, and a sarcastic word. But these more harsh sort of attitude or harsh action, verbal action as well as the physical action, but these are not violent. Violent action, because these come out of sense of concern, sense of compassion. Then on the other hand, of course, I do not mean, you see, the political implication, but simply when 1950, around 1950-51, our Eastern brothers' liberation, Eastern brothers liberated us at the initial stage till Chinese army consolidated, firmly trenched. They are very polite. They often, because of the party, and what's it, they drink as well, the alcohol like that. Very peaceful. Very non-violent sort of appearance. But most probably, judging from several decades, you see, these apparent peaceful sort of atmosphere is actually eventually full control on Tibetan. So I think often, you see, I think many of you already, you see, have the experience. You see, sometimes, you see, some people, you see, showing you a smile, and sometimes some gift. But the real motivation is try to take advantage on you or cheating you. So these are, appears non-violent, friendly attitude. But because of their motivation, want to cheat you or take advantage unjustly. So these are actually, violent method, violence, violent action. So therefore, violence, non-violence, much depend on the motivation. So the concept peace, very much related with motivation. So therefore, genuine peace must come from inner peace. Why we call this inner peace? Right? Inner peace means those destructive emotions actually sometimes outwardly as I mentioned earlier, not necessarily, you see, create a violent atmosphere, but in a word, any destructive motivation develop, as soon as destructive emotion develop, your peace of mind is no longer there. It is very clear. No matter how someone who really, because of the expert, is to hide their real feeling. You know, sometimes you see the immense sort of anger inside, but showing very gentle. Some are really expert, isn't it? This Tibetan saying, or Tibetan, usually you should say, people who never show their real inner karoda, inner feeling. Sometimes the people consider that is a wise man. I think that is wrong. I think that is foolish. I really don't agree that. Obviously, in human society, even dealing with animal, trust is key thing. Where trust there, sort of peaceful atmosphere immediately come. Where no trust, no matter how is nice word, nice face, you can't develop genuine sense of security, peace. So trust is very important. I think one of the best teachers about the importance of trust, I think animal demonstrate, right? I think very effectively. There is no way to communicate with animal, but mainly physical action. Your sight, sincerely treat them, feeding them, petting them, sincerely, they respond accordingly. If you put little trick there, in order to catch or in order to do something different way, this animal, even though they are showing their hunger, thought of. Their hunger, when you see the ready to give some, feeding something, in spite of their hungry sort of hunger, they very much sort of say they cautious. Isn't it? Like crow. They are very cunning, very clever. So even animal appreciate trust, honest. You are honest, truthful. Animal also appreciate. Human being, certainly, more sophisticated mind. So friendship means certain closeness feeling with trust. That's friendship. So in order to bring trust, you're honest, truthful. That's very important. Clever, cunning, rare. Saying something, doing something different. It is, I think, worst enemy of trust. So I don't agree. Some people consider wise, very peaceful face, but inside, a lot of hatred like that. So, in any way, you see, these negative emotion, as soon as negative emotion develop, that person no longer enjoy peace of mind. Real destroyer of peace of mind, not external enemy, but internal enemy. That's very clear. So therefore, peace through inner peace is that meaning. Inner peace, then trust, then truthful, right? And also inner peace, through inner peace, you can see the reality. more correctly, because peace very much related with unbiased attitude, where your mind become biased. You cannot see the reality because your mind already
your mind is already turned partial or biased.
So therefore, the peace also, I think, important. For peace, the looking the reality unbiasedly or objectively. So therefore, peace through inner peace is Kasoda. That's a reality. Peace through force, not genuine peace. So peace with hatred, impossible. So the peace must come through inner peace. So now that deals with the human positive emotions. Usually it's the positive emotion I think really give us inner peace and also provide us more balanced
We will then have a more balanced biological elements.
This body is combination of five elements. So these different emotions also related with these different components or these different elements. So when these different elements elements of this body more balanced way, then we call healthy. When these different elements become imbalanced, then different illness usually happen, and including disturbance of sleep or digestion, these things will happen. So therefore, inner peace or positive emotion not only bring peace of mind or inner peace, inner happiness, but also physical well-being. My own case, now it seems quite clear. Peace of mind is really a positive effect on the physical. Usually you see people, when people used to ask me inside now this age, my physical condition, you say, okay. So some people is wondering, what is my secret? Then I just usually say, responded, oh, I am long sleep, long hour sleep, many hours sleep. So that's my main secret of this was physical fitness. That also one factor, no question. My daily routine is something that fixed.
Well set up.
And sleep, usually 9 hours, 8 hours, and sometimes 10 hours without sleeping pill. So you see, long day, busy, and some feeling of tiredness late evening, but then night, 9 hours, 8 hours, at least at 8 hours to sleep without disturbances. Next morning, fresh. So here, also I think the comparatively, my mind, I think quite peaceful. So that, I think, one factor for well-being, physical level, including good sleep, like that. So some my friend, very wealthy, I think a millionaire, or could be possibly billionaire, but as a person, too much stress, too much worry, as a result, a very unhappy person. But usually it's never show outside. They show positive side. Isn't it? When we become quite close friends,
close,
then they speak their inner sort of problems, their inner sort of
deep or the worries,
these things. So, the peace of mind is something very, very important. Now here, I think today I may speak different way. Firstly, I am Buddhist. So, according Buddhist way of approach, yes, one, I think, important Buddhist sort of concept, or Buddhist practice. One, altruism, infinite altruism. That immense sort of helpful to come down your, because of the destructive emotion. When different emotions, because you see, these destructive emotions come on the basis of some kind of the kasoda simbinaloya chikasoda pake namdarushki chik lunglaya sort of dindirish yobe kasoda any destructive emotion in Mudua.
Are these destructive emotions or destructive mentalities, they come about when one is having a sense of agitation, mentally agitated state, like one becoming very angry, and one is possessed with sense of hostility and so forth.
So when our mind is some kind of calm mind disturbed, even including a lack of sleep, or too much tiredness or stress, then yimideva said. That we call yimideva.
So that is technically known as the mental unhappiness.
That brings that act as a basis of the development of these negative destructive emotions such as hatred, anger, fear, like that. So therefore, the altruism, altruism really brings calm mind. Then another Buddhist practice, important practice, is the concept of interdependency. that concept provide us holistic view. One particular event, whether positive or negative, one particular event, from the viewpoint of interdependency, then you have to look the wider perspective. Wider perspective. These things happen because of this event, that event, or yesterday's event, or century ago, or last year, or last decade, or last century, like that. Once you get that, because of the wider perspective, sort of over outlook, outlook or picture, then one single event, positive event, may not create much sort of excitement or attachment, or negative event develop anger. No, because you see, these things happen due to that. Usually these negative emotions need some kind of independent, absolute target. I think our, according to our usual sort of emotion, the anger towards entire humanity, I think is difficult. Even though sometimes we may say, oh, how bad humanity. But real anger, I think,
that's unlikely.
Oh, unlikely, right. Because, you see, humanity, then no independent absolute target. And also, you see, you cannot, you see, develop that kind of strong anger towards group of people. Also difficult. Then one particular individual, then this tremendous sort of hatred, anger, everything, all these bad things happen due to that, due to this person. So then you find the independent target. So anger then become very forceful. So the wider perspective awareness about that negative event, very helpful to lessen, to lessen these negative emotions. And among the factors to create this particular unhappy event, ultimately your own contribution also there. So therefore, the difficult to develop 100% kasoda harshness attitude. So these two practice is the, I think, the Buddhist unique way to bring peace of mind. Then those other traditions, such as Christianity, Judaism, or Islam, so most of these different traditions who believe God, Creator, again, strong sort of belief, faith towards God, some unhappy event happen, then think, all these are creature of God. Looks tragedy, but there must be some meaning. So with that, because of the understanding, see, very helpful to reduce anger or frustrations. For example, on your close friend, untimely death. Very unfortunate indeed. But those people who have no faith at all, Then they can't explain that event. It's much more frustrations. But those people who believe God, it's very sad. My dear friend, now untimely death, very unfortunate. Sometimes they may feel, even you see, God, unkind, that kind of feeling sometimes. Yeah. But basically, this is still, God, full of love, full of awareness, or enlightened, and created all these things. So there must be some meaning. So that person, due to faith, much less
frustrations.
So that's the way religion brings inner peace. No matter what kind of belief, whether theistic religion or non-theistic religion, doesn't matter. Our mental attitude always finds someone you can trust, you can rely on. Something beyond our control, but still you feel something you rely on. Where? And that thing which you are relying, full of compassion, full of wisdom, full of kindness. So, you see, you've got some kind of
some sense of security and some sense of reliance.
And then also, of course, one occasion I was in Jerusalem, one meeting, discussion about problem, the local problem. Then one Jewish teacher told at that meeting, in his class, he told his student, including Palestinian students, he told them, whenever you face on someone who dislikes red,
whenever you face with someone whom you dislike,
at that moment, think about that person, the image of God. So later, some of his students, Palestinians, previously, usually, you see, when they met some Jewish or Israeli police who are checking, then they feel uncomfortable. But after, you see, they listen, or after knowing that sort of advice, then, you see, they try to remember that person in the image of God. Their internal sort of uneasiness or frustration or anger much reduced. So the various different religious traditions, if you properly implement, there is sort of way to bring inner peace through some kind of method or effect to reduce negative emotion. Now, my main, the talk, usually I call secular ethics. Firstly, what is secularism? Some Muslims, also some Christians, they interpret Secularism means rejection of religion. But my Indian friends, and also I think including some scientists, the secularism does not mean a rejection of religion. I think India's, or the spirit of secularism, which the India's constitution is based, I think according that secularism means respect all religions, respect people who are people from different religious tradition, or including non-believer, as a human being, as human brothers, sisters, equally respect and respect their belief, or including non-believers' belief. So that's, I think, the meaning of secularism. One of my friend is suggesting to me I should not use the word of secularism, secular ethics, because this is some religious people must feel secular means something uncomfortable. I don't know. I usually call, because I use this secular ethics, or secularism. But I don't know. If you have any suggestions among the audience, the later when question and answer, I want to seek some advice whether I should continue use the secular ethics or not. So now the certain ethics for certain ethics which actually universal value. So irrespective whether believer or non-believer, whether religious people or non-religious people, I think that is important. Whatever you call that, that is according to the reality. That is very important. Now, majority of the 6 billion human beings, in real sense, non-believer, not much serious concern about God or about, you see, hell or heaven, these things. Even Buddhist, when the real sort of day-to-day life come, the money is more important than Buddha. Isn't it? The other day, I have one Chinese Buddhist. And I told him, oh, we, religious person, we should be very serious. Otherwise, you see, we may pray to Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, but really meant for this life, including our corrupted actions. Please, Buddha, bless me, my corrupted action should be success. Like that, isn't it? Pray, Buddha, please bless me, my lie will remain something forceful. Or my wrongdoing, please bless me, my wrongdoing should not be investigated by government or government agent or something like that. Isn't it? So because, you see, we are not very sincere Buddhists. You are doing wrong thing, but in the meantime seeking blessing from both. from Buddha or God. It's a mistake. God or Buddha made very clear, should not do wrongdoing. Particularly Buddha made very clear, if you do wrong thing, I cannot protect you. Buddha mentioned like that. So the Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami, Sangham Sharanam Gacchami, out of three the sentence, Dharmam Sharanam Gacchami, that's the main thing. What is Dharma? Doing well, do right thing, resisting wrongdoing, that's Dharma, Dharma practice. Without that, Buddha cannot bless you, cannot protect you, Sangha cannot protect you. But usually, see, without doing these things, your action is concerned, whatever you like, you carry. In the meantime, bless or appeal to blessing of God or Buddha. So these are not genuine believer. Isn't it? So even myself, perhaps comparatively, I think my case is a little better. And otherwise, you see some lamas or some teachers, you see, when you see they speak about the Dharma, they're talking about contentment. But lama or teacher themselves need money, need big car. In Tibet, nowadays, some lamas, some teachers, you see, after they touring mainland China, or give some teaching, they receive that red envelope. More red envelope. Then after return, they buy big car or construct big house. These are also, you see, not true practitioner. These are businessmen selling Dharma, earning money. So their real Dharma is because of money. So these are not sincere religious person. So therefore, I usually, you see, they, and also if they, no, I did too much. Okay. Stop. Better stop. So this six out of over 6 billion human beings, I think majority, in reality, non-believer, not very serious about religion. Then these are very important portion of humanity. If religious people, minority, may follow honestly, but the majority not doing honestly, then problem. What's that? Will be there, will increase. And also, the lecture, or I don't know, or teaching importance of compassion from church, from temple, from lama, from teacher, from minister, right? I think not sufficient. Now must be through education. Education means every citizen of the country, right? Every country nowadays, you see, I think every country, the education compulsory. So through that way, moral education, moral ethics, through education, I think should be there. Without that, we cannot change humanity's way of thinking. So through education, in order to promote human ethics through education, Then if you rely on the method of promotion of moral ethics through religious belief, then it creates a lot of problems. Like India, firstly, education system is secular. Then secondly, the whole Indian society, multi-religious community. In some extent, multicultural sort of society. This remained 1,000 years, peacefully. Occasionally some problem here and there happened, but basically 1,000 years, different, as the Kasoda, people from different tradition live together. Like in Kerala, you can see one family Christian, one family Muslim, one family Hindu, or Jain, like that. Very peaceful. So, in such society, education based on religion, or moral education based on religion, then create a lot of difficulties. What religion? Every Indian citizen, every Indian student, because of compulsory, because of that.
Compulsory to embrace.
Compulsory to study all religion, or compulsory to practice all religion. Impossible. So therefore, one way, we need more emphasis the importance of moral education through education system. Clear. Other hand, if you the moral education must be based on religious faith, then that also impractical. So our choice is secular ethics through education. That's the only choice. So therefore, the moral ethics without a belief, or not based on religious belief, then how? I usually see telling people or sharing with people, I think two fields. One field, our common experience. That is, we human beings, social animal. And in any case, way of our survival, or I think the way we come from mother's womb, where? Then we survived with mother's milk. Mother's sort of day and nights, full care. That's the way of our survival. Without that, if someone, a child, after birth, no one take care, then the child, no possibility survive. Must rely on someone else's care. Unlike some animal species, some species of animal, like turtle, their offspring carried their survival entirely by themselves. But we human beings are not like that. Even someone taking care. Care means just feeding, without love, without affection. Physical may survive, but mentally, very
very unhealthy. So eventually, physical also.
The physical as well will be retarded.
So they, after birth, mothers take care, full care, and spend 24 hours with mother. Mother's kasra.
The mother cuddling the child.
No. And feeding milk. I think that's the best way to grow. And that also, basic human nature, human way. So how to bring closeness feeding, closeness of relations, mother and child, human affection, human compassion. The mother side considered one's own child as a part of her own body. Mother sometimes is choosing her own death rather than death of the child. Even animal, some case, animal also do that. So tremendous sort of affection. That affection, from Buddhist viewpoint, mixture, affection or compassion, biased compassion with attachment. But there is one part, one aspect of that affection is compassion. And then child side also, after birth, the child no ability to recognize, this is my mother, this is such and such. No such per se, cognitive power. But physically, emotionally, the child side totally relying on that person. That strong sense of intimacy, right? Intimacy brought by physical elements. Because it need that. The survival of the child need that kind of affection. That affection brings together. That affection also they give mother some kind of strength to sacrifice her own temporary
comfort
or peace. Deliberately. You know, one of my friends, he disturbed. Then afterward, you see, I just asked about his life. Then he told me, after birth of child, his sleep disturbed a lot. Then he told me,
So then he was telling me that the mother of the child was taking enormous care and compassion and love towards the child. But from his side, he really feels that so irritating and disturbing.
So he said, mother, actually she's sacrificing her own sort of temporary satisfaction, but totally dedicate to the child. So that sort of determination, that kind of enthusiasm brings by the affection, affection. So that really need for survival of the child or well-being of the child. So if we accept Creator, then created such a way. If we scientifically speaking, by nature. Like that. So that's, I often see telling people, I think, whether you agree or not, I want no, because of the true question and answer. I believe at that moment, just after a few moments after birth, I think at that time the mother's total dedication to me, I think that immense because of that impact. I think impact in my mind. Some kind of, that experience bring immense sense of security and satisfaction. And so therefore, I think that experience, I think deeply, because of that, implanted. I think deeply implanted in my mind. So now these days, I really believe the human compassion is something key factor for well-being, for happy person. So that sort of strong feeling or strong sort of conviction, I think you should develop because of that experience, I feel. So those children who are lacking that kind of experience at that time may be less compassionate sort of feeling. So that's our common sense. And then our daily life. When we talk with someone more compassionate, more sincere person, we always feel happy. And when we are facing some problem, we always trying to share with such people, then we feel happy. Although that may not reduce your real sort of tragic sort of situation, but at least mentally, emotionally, you feel much better. So, in human society, human affection, human compassion is immensely important according to our common sense, right? Our common experience. That's one thing. Then also, I think according to our common experience, if we watch closely, peace of mind, as I mentioned before, with peace of mind, even small disturbances may not disturb much. When your peace of mind there, your mind, your mood good, calm, some disturbed news come, you can take easily. Well, when your mood is bad, your basic mental state uncalm, a little disturbed there, then even small sort of tragedy immediately burst. Right. So therefore, the peace of mind really something like, I think, controller of
your attitude. Your mind.
Or your attitude. Like that. So peace of mind, compassion, very close link. Now another level, scientific finding, particularly medical scientist sort of experience or their data. More compassionate mind, usually, the illness, I think the compassionate mind immense helpful to sustain or increase our immune system. One occasion, one scientist actually using this word, anger, actually eating our immune system. So physical well-being . So therefore, according modern science, now begin to realize physical well-being and also
longevity
is something related with our emotion, our peace of mind. So, on the basis of scientific findings and our common experience, I think we can educate our younger generation through education, importance of our inner value. So, that's why wherever I go, I always is telling or sharing with people the importance of our inner value, for that,
the promotion of that
through education
on
secular
basis.
So that is about my talk. The peace through inner peace. What do you think?
Some sense?
So, thank you. Now, this marathon also seems tired. Tired? So, now, some questions.
If you marathon available,
or if written questions, good.
Your Holiness, how does His Holiness keep His inner peace when He has to meet political leaders who are corrupt most times?
How's that?
Fortunately, I think those of the politicians, usually I
know that.
I mean, actually, I never try to have audience with politicians or leaders, but usually it's on their side. Some people is showing interest about our meeting. So I deceive. So those people, usually, I feel I'm a good person. So I think so far, I can't remember anyone who really quite strange, and meantime, dealing with that. Not much of that. I can't remember, Of course, in the past, when I was in Tibet, that kind of sort of problems there. But somehow now passed. things are changing. So I don't know.
Okay.
I think one example or one short story. I think maybe I think 20 I think 25 years ago. I think more than 20 years ago. In any case, more than 20 years. One Englishman who spent many years in China. And also I was told, close friend, or close, or I don't know, somehow, it's some, what was the connection with late Chuanen. So he believed what Chinese say, what Chinese propaganda says. So he came to Dharamsala with some motion picture, right?
Motion picture.
And when he reached Dharamsala, some of our staff member, you see, met him and told me, oh, that Englishman is something very strange, very sympathetic with Chinese. So it was the government, or Chinese communist. I think 3 days continuously. A long talk. At the beginning, you see, he completely disagreed with our view. And we spent several hours, and I explained what he took. To compare first day, the second day, his attitude a little bit change. The third day, more change. Eventually, see, he remained more silent. He more or less accepted, you see, my viewpoint. So, of course, you see, one important aspect is not only is the sense of compassion, but truthful, honesty. So the different views or different, because I think argument based on different view, the best challenge for that, truthful, honesty. Then, no matter how strong argument, from other side, eventually, see, they have to find adjustment. Our viewpoint, because of based on truth, consistency, that makes differences. So as I mentioned earlier, it's very important we should be always honest, truthful, straightforward. That's very important. Next question.
Your Holiness, secularism is a base of India's constitution. But do you think that it is being followed seriously in this country, or is it getting deteriorated?
Don't worry. Huh? I think the precise answer for that question, I don't know. You really, I think those questioners, I think this question, you see, the person who bring this question, I think if you are Indian, you should investigate more. But one thing, I have very strong feeling, India's today's education system, I think not complete satisfactory. That's quite clear. Firstly, I think so-called modern education system, it's very much related with the external external things, very little about our inner value. Right? I think that not, therefore it's not complete. Even in the West, now there are scholars or educationists who really showing their dissatisfaction about education system. So quite often, you say, I participated in discussion, you say, how to develop a certain method about the warm-heartedness through education in modern education curriculum. So some people actually is working on it. So India's case, I think this nation, last 5,000 years of the history of civilization, and the spirituality is concerned, I think this country is very rich. Last at least 3,000 years, I think very rich sort of tradition. So there must be, as far as sort of the modernity means change of external things, including buildings, these things. But human inner feeling is concerned, I think the last at least a few thousand years, I think human emotion, I think more or less same, not much change. So external appearance is much changed. Even last few centuries, big change. Now within last 20th century, much change. Now still changing is going on. But human emotional level is concerned, I think not change. So therefore, 3,000-year-old India's different spirituality still very much relevant to today's human emotions. But the way the presentation, these spirituality, in church, in mandir, in temple, Chibur Stoja, it is not sufficient to visit mandir or temple and the what called that bell. Ding, 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 like that. One bell. And then put some flowers and close your eye and recite some Sanskrit word without knowing the meaning. That's not sufficient. Or fire puja. And those is the couple who married, you see, they go because of some fire puja. Meaningless. Oh, I mean, truthfully, well, frankly speaking, I don't think it's much meaning. So these are part of culture, or part of habit. Okay, doesn't matter, no harm, but not much meaning. So therefore, I think there is huge gap today's India's reality and the way of bringing or presentation about ancient spirituality. I think there is a gap. So, and like Buddhism also, sometimes or other religious tradition also, you see, more like ritual. Hello, da. Sermon, right? Sermon, right? Ha. Oh, ritualistic. Without understanding of the real meaning or real message. So I think very important. Think more and discuss more openly and must find some answer. If this situation remains go like this, then if humanity as a whole become extreme materialistic, no value, no consider importance value of importance of inner value, then I think our future is more disaster. That's clear. Like September 11th event, modern technology, sophisticated mind, guided by hatred, these things happen. So this clearly shows lack of spiritual education, or moral ethics, lack of moral ethics. That's very clear. Next question.
Do you think the new railway link to Lhasa is the second invasion of Tibet that will wipe out all Tibetan Buddhist tradition and culture?
The construction of railway link itself, I think, as I mentioned before, like neutral, can be either harmful or beneficial. It depends user. If you use that sort of construction properly or positive way, it's a benefit. If that use negative way, harmful, including environment issue. So therefore, we cannot judge simply the construction of the railway link itself. But how to use it, we have to judge. So far, now last few months, July, I think around July, the construction completed. Then last few years, last few months, every day, 5,000 to 6,000 Chinese is coming. And out of 5,000 to 6,000, according to some information, only 2,000 to 3,000 return. Remaining stay in Tibet. The type of people, they are tourists. That's okay. Come and spend a few weeks in Lhasa area and then return. So their money spent in Lhasa, so okay. But the another portion, job seeker, unskilled, uneducated, who are facing difficulties getting job in China proper, lot of competition. So therefore, such people seek jobs in Tibet. They easily compete with a Tibetan, local Tibetan. Plus, official also some cases seems more blessing. So now that number increase, then local people, even hard manual labor, also sometimes finds difficulties. Then a few days ago, I met one Tibetan who come from Tibet. He told me, among the passengers who come from China, also the handicapped, usually you see Chinese beggars from mainland China, also you see increasing number in Lhasa area, because you see, usually you see Tibetan give kasa, or money, or food like that. So therefore, the through their own connection. You see, some beggars, some handicapped people from mainland China also coming to Lhasa, their number increasing. Then also, Xiangzuma.
And then also the number of prostitutes increasing.
So then also is the increasing the danger of AIDS. That some Chinese, bring some uneducated, innocent girls from countryside and, you see, work, what call that?
As prostitutes.
So that special business. I don't know that word. So special business like that. So this is some my friend from West, so who spent longer period in Lhasa and pay special attention about AIDS problem. They gives me serious warning. There is real danger. So a few occasions I'm telling the Tibetan audience, now you be careful. Like that. Then environment issue. The mining's now increasing. Of course, generally, mining is the right way to use nature resources to benefit a human being. Okay. But the regardless consequences of environment, then it is very, very serious matter. Tibet plateau or Tibetan area, usually high altitude, dry climate. So therefore, according some specialist, environment specialist, they say Tibetan environment issue, you should be very, very careful. Otherwise, once environment problem happen or nature balance damage, it takes longer time to recover because of high altitude and dry climate, like that. I was told the amount of the water in Pichu River, Brahmaputra, the original source of Brahmaputra. Now, last summer, much less. So these are the consequences of carelessness of environment. Although the global warming also make one important factor like that. Last, I think, 46 or 7 years in Dharamsala, we noticed in early 60s, during winter, I think quite heavy is the snowfall. Then decade by decade, less and less. Now this year, unusually, now in mountain, Dharamsala, very little snow. So we are concerning. Because we are little sort of concerned, right? Little concerned about the water shortage this summer. So if there is God, please bless us more snow at Dharamsala. Otherwise, we will face some problems. If there is no God, then I don't know how to do. Yes, next question.
Your Holiness, how does one know he has attained inner peace or peace of mind?
That's that. I don't know. There is saying, simja taagar mushri yaris, mir munagar yaris.
there is a very popular expression which says that the physical stripes are what you see with the tigers, but as for the stripes of the human beings is right inside you, and we don't see that from outside.
So peace of mind is inner quality. So whether that person have inner peace or not, difficult to judge. However, there is Buddha's sort of word. Fish, usually, some fish usually you see in deep sea. You can't see. But if you wait long period with the wave of the sea, there is possibility to see the fish. So similarly, human inner quality, you cannot see immediately, difficult to see, but spend more time, watch carefully, particularly the person passing through difficult period, then you will know, you can judge if that person is really peaceful minded or not. So there is saying, there is story in Lhasa. Someone
taking circumambulation.
So the person met with someone who supposed meditating. So that person asked him, what you are meditating?
And the meditator, he replied, well, I'm meditating on patience.
Then that person, quite clever,
and that the person who questioned the meditator told him that, oh, if you are really meditating on patience, then please eat this shit. Eat the shit. And the meditator, he responded that, oh, it should be you who should be eating the shit.
So that means, you see, he immediately provoked. Then the person, you see, immediately responds negative way. So that's the way to test. You see, that person really practiced on patience or not. So similarly, peace of mind, oh, whether someone who have the, so oneself, whether there is peace of mind or not, think or remember about, you see, those events which you feel frustrations or anger. Think that still you feel calm, then you could say your mind is quite peaceful. Without remember these things, or without thinking these things, you feel quite okay. But as soon as you remember some tragedy in the past, or possibility, or thinking possibility about some other danger, then immediately you feel frustration, so you feel anger. Then you will know you are not so much peaceful minded. Like that. So, the
So, to examine whether or not one has really developed a peaceful state of mind is something that you have to examine your own by means of examining one's own mind.
Next question.
Your Holiness, how do we help children, teenagers specifically, from feeling helpless, powerless in a world filled with so much conflict?
Okay.
우수지 거죠.
Yes, now this is very serious, serious matter.
We as a individual or individual nation, our future depend on humanity as a whole. If humanity or whole world become more peaceful, more compassionate, more prosperity, then individual person or individual nation certainly is to get benefit. So therefore, we have to think about humanity in general, right? Humanity as a whole. It's very important. I think according to the new reality, the very concept of we and they is no longer there. Our future depends on them. So we must consider whole world is part of yourself. The economy, particularly the global economy, according to our global economy, and also environment issue. I think world, something like one entity. So, when we talk about humanity, I think, like my generation, the older generation, sometimes our perception about the world is, I think, some cases, I think, outdated. Right? There is real gap, our perception and the reality. So therefore, our real hope, and also, you see, sometimes it's difficult to change the perception in our mind, because this is so many years we believe that way. So it's difficult to change. So frankly speaking, sometimes express my generation some way hopeless generation. So now our hope, real hope, is future generation. So the children, today's children, these children is the real Karoda, maker of new world. Right. So therefore, I think taking care our younger generation, not only physically, but also mentally or emotionally, is extremely important. So therefore, as we already touched, the education system is the key factor. And also, the serious discussion, serious research work about finds the way of promotion of human values through education on the basis of secular ethics. I think very serious matter. So caring children, extremely important.
Your Holiness, how do I curb my anger?
Yes, sir. That also, you see, very complicated work. The emotions Emotions. I think like even one plant, there are so many chemicals, so many in microscope, right? Microscope. I think microscope level, so many particles involved in order to grow these was a plant, flowers, color, shape, the speed of growing. Not just like that. Many things involved. So our emotion also, such as anger, many things involved. From the Buddhist viewpoint,
So, from Buddhist perspective, there are various mental elements involved. One would be the distorted perception of things, of the impermanent things to be permanent. And another distorted perception which views suffering phenomena to be of happiness, the of nature of happiness. The distorted perception of viewing things which are of selfless nature as that of self nature.
So antidote. Antidote site also. There are many differences because of the elements. So, anger, just one sort of absolute independent sort of antidote, although usually we say patience and tolerance, is the antidote of anger or hatred. But in order to develop the patience or tolerance, not just something like, almost like indifferent, that's not the antidote. The antidote, knowing fully about the negative, right, about the kasota, or say the harmfulness, harmfulness. Meantime, is make distinction. This much countermeasure is right, this much is extreme. So, very cleverly, and then control. So it is not easy. Of course, if someone asks, what is the antidote of the anger or hatred, the immediate answer is tolerance. Then how to develop tolerance? Through prayer? No. Through simple meditation? No. Through simple investigation? No. Complex. So, I think answer for that question may be study more, think more, then you will find answer. Last question.
Your Holiness, what is skillful and unskillful karma? Is there any good or bad karma?
Lekanas, yala, lekanas ini kura kasukre. rāngsā pa rūpa chīka lāyā kānā sā tī lōptuā mē, lōptuā mē tuwa.
No.
Kora, chīka, tāyā, tā tsō tō kūlūngu chāne, chāwā tī, sāngkū lōtō tō, chāwā tī ngāmbā lōtō sāyā tī, tō kūlūngu chāne, pēcī lē.
So as to the second question, which says, is there any good or bad karma? We cannot really say that some form of karma is positive or negative from its own side, totally independent of any other factors. Rather, we can truly say that a particular karma is positive if the motivation which determines the karma is positive. And likewise is the case with negative.
So the basis of the demarcation, positive or the negative karma and the positive karma, is the judging from the result. Right. The result from that action brings some somewhat say genuine benefit or satisfaction. That is positive karma. Genuine means not just immediate kasoda, spontaneous sort of immediate feeling, but real consequences. That's I mean the genuine or sort of genuine. So genuine satisfaction, genuine benefit, that karma consider positive. Because we want happiness and satisfaction. That's our right. And really worthwhile to gain happy life. So contrary, any action which bring contrary sort of result, that we consider negative. So that's Buddhist point. And basically, negative and positive also relative. Like that. And to Tangkushu. First part. That is Yashubu Shushi Yota. Then Namda Mongshan Yoto Kavre.
As to the first question, which says, what is skillful and unskillful karma? So this is in fact a very vast topic. In order to determine particular karma as skillful, it involves a whole lot of factors which should be taken into consideration, like the motivation, like whether or not that particular karma is accompanied by a genuine wisdom and so forth.
So finally, I think everybody here, if you want or concern about a better future, happier future, for that, of course, external elements also is important, including money or these things also is important, no doubt, but equally important is our inner way of thinking. That really makes differences. Even the person or circumstances is full of problem, full of tragedy, but if person inner attitude or inner quality, good quality there, then that person can be still a peaceful, or calm, happy. Other hand, if the person himself or herself inner sort of situation is disturbed, then no matter, you see, that person surrounded by best friends and best facilities, the person still
can be an unhappy person. So therefore, there is no point to neglect about our inner value. Whether you believe or non-believer, please think more about our inner values in order to be happy person. Inner value is so important. So that I want to share with you as a conclusion. So, thank you very much. See you again.
Thank you, Your Holiness. I invite Kyabji Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Spiritual Director of FPMT, to say a few words of thanks. Rinpoche.